Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Born Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Chris, I'm stressed out. I'm ever so stressed out, mate.
Why is that, Pete? Because I'm coming back?
A little bit. I mean, it is related to you. There's a big podcast show happening. Chris is going to be appearing on stage briefly to have a chat with old yours truly.
And
those of you who go to the podcast show in Angel, the Business Design Centre on the 20th and the 26th, we're going to be down there for one of those days having a chat.
What's the event called?
I think it's just the podcast show.
The
podcast. If you type in the podcast show, it should come up. Business Design Centre, Angel Islington, on the 25th and the 26th, and we are appearing on stage very briefly, briefly.
Is there anybody good
there? 25th.
Other than us,
there's loads of people. It's good. They'll all be like, all the big hitters, you know.
I heard Louis Theroux's there.
Louis Theroux will be there. Yeah, wow. They're doing shows in the evening, so you know, live shows and stuff. But we're basically, we're doing our thing, and I've basically got a stand to fill, to populate, to create, basically. So we just wanted to sort of turn up, sponsor a couple of drinks receptions, maybe, and just, you know, hand out some vol-au-vents with stack sharpied on them, and so they said, right, okay, you can do that. We will allow you to pay us to do that, but you also need a booth on the stand floor, which means, like, have you ever been like a freshers fair?
Yeah.
It just feels a little bit like that. It feels a little bit like, right, what are we going to be doing? I mean, handing out business cards in a bowl, who's going to win a free meal? I don't know. Lady Diana lookalike. I don't know, take a picture with it. I don't know. Because I've been to these things before. My job before radio was setting these things up, going all the way to Dunkeld in Scotland, Aberdeen, Cardiff, all these places, and advertising our housing mobility service, you know, because in social housing, because I worked for a government quango for a long time. And so, like, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies, because I've went, right, how do we make a 2.5 foot by 5 foot booth look arresting and interesting? And so I've just gone for paying the best part of $4,000 for a big fucking screen.
to rent
a big fucking screen. But you can't just rent a big fucking screen. You need some. You'll be featured, no doubt. I've got some pornographic fake pictures made of you. It's just going to be on a loop. It's going to be absolutely foul. Deep fakes. I've got that. But then I was like, well, we need some furniture. So then I've got to talk to a furniture person.
My God.
And then the company who owns the big tellies, you know, big LED screens. You need an engineer. Mm. I was like, to plumb it in. All right, to plumb it in. Yeah, fine. No, he's going to need to be there every day. I'm like, why? Why does he need to be there every day? And turns out he needs to be there every day. So he needs a hotel room. And he needs somewhere to park the
van. It's getting very expensive very quickly.
Chris, it's such a... And then the vol-au-vents are so expensive. There's a bottling fee for all the wine. Chris, this isn't... I used to be on the radio, Chris. I used to be somebody. And now I'm finding out where in Hackney I can put an engineer. who's literally going to turn up on stage and turn up in our booth, click one switch, and then fuck off again.
I'll do it for you for 90% of the fee you're paying him. I'll do it.
Okay,
I'll
right, do it instead. Fine.
I'll cash right. in on that. That sounds stressful.
So ridiculous.
A little bit
it
stressful.
It is stressful, Chris. It's very stressful.
But you regret doing it now.
We'll get there. Yes, I do. I don't know why we're doing it.
I'll do my part. I'll bring back some Kit Kats. We can put the clever, funny Japanese Kit Kats on the stand and job done. Everyone will love it.
We'll get up on stage like Michael Scott and Pam in The Office and throw chocolate bars into the crowd. Really heavy, sharp Kit Kats. Getting people in the eye and stuff.
Perfect. Perfect. There you go, guys. If you didn't need any more incentive to come to the podcast event on the 25th in London, guys, there you go. Get that. Get the Kit Kats. Yeah. Enjoy Pete's elaborately expensive television. It's going to be fun. Oh, I'm sure I'll have some photos on Twitter for those of you that aren't able to make it or just don't want to go. We got a story here from Tantarif from Singapore. He says, hello there, Chris and Pete. My name's Tantarif and I'm from Singapore. I'd love to share with you a small predicament I encountered during my first and only trip to Japan. It was 2016. I was selected on a fully paid 5-night school trip tour around landmarks in Osaka and Nara. Oh, I hate you. My skill trips were to, like, we're going to, you guessed it, the farm. And we'd go to the same farm every year at my crappy school. Anyone that gets to go on a school trip somewhere good, I'm massively jealous.
Well, I mean, the most exciting trip was Lourdes, because I went to Catholic secondary school, and so they'd all got to Lourdes, and they've all come back with their little vials of holy water. And it's all a bit much, isn't it? Just let them go.
That sounds really good. I got the farm. You got magic Jesus water. Damn you.
I didn't go. I'm not Catholic. Oh. I didn't go. I was like, I cannot fathom why you'd want me there. I'll ruin it. I'll vom up a bit of wine. Jesus' blood. I'll do something.
Oh, dear. But anyway, back to the story of this wonderful trip to Osaka. Skipping to the final day of the trip, our teachers left us to freely roam around Dotonbori for 5 hours. And I visited a shop that sells anime posters and wall scrolls. Many scrolls were hanging on display. But of course, when the scrolls are rolled up, it's difficult to see what the scroll is. So they would usually have a tiny preview picture in the plastic wrapper to know which is which. One of the scrolls interested me, so I picked it out of the bunch in the rack to inspect the preview image, when suddenly I got jolted by a loud "Oi!" from the side of me. I snapped my head in the direction of the exclamation and saw that the store clerk, with her hands on her hips, staring daggers at my direction. I was the only one in the shop, so I deduced that that remark was for me. As I was in a panicked state and with almost no knowledge of proper Japanese, I could only muster a "Eh?" back at her. We stared at each other for what felt like 5 seconds before she simply turned away and walked back to the cash register. I was left completely dumbfounded by the whole exchange. In the end, I still purchased the wall scroll that I picked up. I paid the cashier and she was acting like nothing ever happened. My question is there some sort of browsing etiquette in shops in Japan? Best regards, guys. Tantarif from Singapore. I don't know what happened there. I'm as clueless as you are. I think it was just a racist or something. I don't know. Honestly, that's the only thing I can think of, that maybe the person was just didn't like non-Japanese touching things. I don't know. There's no other aspect of the story you left out. What do you think?
Maybe it was a very adult scroll, and Tantarif from Singapore was a young man. Maybe it was, it's confusing, isn't it? Yeah,
we occasionally get stories like this, but I often feel like there's a piece of the story missing, isn't there? Like a detective, like something doesn't feel right. Maybe there was like a sign saying "Don't touch the scrolls." Maybe
don't touch the scrolls.
Don't touch them unless you're buying it. Something like that. That's the only thing I could think of.
Interesting.
That is a bit odd. Or maybe the only other thing is maybe they weren't shouting at you, but then you were the only one in the store. Maybe there's a ghost or something.
Yeah.
But I have no idea.
Maybe it was a scroll that was, I don't know, something to do with the teller's grandparents. Maybe it was an ancient poem that Granddad had written.
We could spend all day listing off the bizarre reasons the woman shouted "Oi!" Or we could find out the news of the week. What's going on in Japan this week, Mr. Dawson? Last week we had a woman who'd waited 9 years for some beef We didn't even find out if it was worth the wait. What have we got this week? Can we have news that tops that?
Chris, what is the most delicious cuisine you've ever eaten?
Anything but coolish.
Anything but coolish. Well, basically, a hotel, right, is claiming damages of 40,000 yen, around about $300, from a guest who, over a stay of several days, used the electric kettle in their room to boil crabs on two occasions. Round of applause. Round of applause for that person.
Boil crabs? What? Yeah.
I mean, my God, because of the smell that came out when you boil a crab, I mean, I presume it was alive when it went in.
Oh, no.
Probably thought it was going to have a romantic weekend with this person in the hotel. Oh, lovely little weekend away. Lovely. Oh, why are you putting me in the kettle?
Oh, God.
But apparently they're boiling the crab is it caused a big odour, basically, and they couldn't get it out of the room, so they were unable to rent the room for days while the smell was expunged from the hotel, and the guest challenged that, saying, well, you know, you probably wouldn't be booked every day. I mean, I'd probably give it time to sort of dissipate a little bit, and the guest is still alive. Managed to cook this crab, or two crabs in this case, thoroughly boil them in the hotel's electric kettle. Apparently it does work. So, look, I think the hotel's seen themselves off there because they've done a real disservice to the rest of the hotel industry, because now everyone's going to know that you can boil crabs in hotel kettles.
There's just so much to this story that makes my brain explode.
Yeah.
And I don't... Why were they cooking a crab in the kettle?
They were hungry. I can answer all these. Right, I'm going to put myself in the character of the person. Let's face it, it's probably going to be a bloke. I'm going to put my character into him, and you have to ask me questions, okay? Hello, I'm the man who boiled the crab in the hotel kettle.
Why'd you do it? What's wrong with
you? I was hungry. Nothing wrong with me, I was hungry.
Why not have cup noodles or something like Family Mart chicken?
I wanted crab. I wanted fresh crab. All these answers easily answered. All of these questions are easily answered. That's just the way it is.
How did you fit? I mean, how would you fit the crab in the kettle? Like, kettles aren't big in hotel rooms.
No, but the crab is very small.
Oh,
I got a very small crab, but it's just amazing. Because I mean, I've spoken to a friend who is a pretty high-ranking radio DJ in London.
Mm.
I can't go further where she's from. It's not London, though. And she said that her and her friends, when they used to go to the cheap hotels wherever she's from on a night out, they would poop. They would poop in the kettles. Chris.
No.
Now, that is worse. So maybe I'm on the crab man's side. I'm with Gordon Ramsay here. Because I've seen or heard of worse things happening. So I'm kind of on this guy's side a little bit. I think that's fine.
I am someone who likes to spend a lot of time just relaxing in hotel rooms on my travels. I love walking into a nice, clean hotel room and just having the whole place to myself and just feeling
lovely,
like a...
And that lovely kind of noise as a crab cooks in front of you.
Between the crab and the story you just mentioned, I don't think I'm ever going to use a hotel kettle ever again. Like, this is horrible.
It boils water, so everything's going to be clean, isn't it? So it's fine.
It's just, oh God!
It's horrible, isn't it? It is horrible. But he's got to pay $130 for the deodorization of the room, which I think is probably less than what he paid for the room, and also $38 for a new kettle. But he's not paying any restitution. He says, "I'm not paying anything. All I did was cook a crab in a kettle." And there's no written rule that says you can't cook a crab in a kettle in this hotel, for crying out loud.
Oh, God. Well, to be fair, like, what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Should the guy pay the money for the ventilation of the room? I mean, that's a cheeky spray or two of some air freshener, and you won't smell any crabs, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm not sure whose side I'm on here. If I worked at the hotel, I would sue the man into the ground just for being ridiculous. But then if I was the man, I wouldn't pay it. So I don't know. I don't know what to think. This is just such a ridiculous story, and it's broken my head. But I'd like to think the moral of the story is don't cook crabs in the kettle of a hotel.
Or just be yourself.
Just
live life like every day is your last, and that you really like cooked crab, fresh cooked crab.
just like unnamed crab man. We'll be back in a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson? I hope there's no more mention of bloody crabs. I'm so done with crabs today after that last story.
Well, you've had your main. Why not have a bit of dessert? Hi, Coolish Chris and hi, Pete. This is from Becky. Hello, Becky. My question for you both is, what's your all-time favourite conbini snack? I've attached a picture of a potential new favourite snack for Pete to try. Perhaps you could take some back to the UK for him, Chris. This is a very, look, Becca makes, is already making some excellent points, and that was a very short email. Yeah, a lot of people have been sending me this beautiful kind of... It almost looks marmalade-covered kind of puff pastry monstrosity with coolish within. So it's not technically a coolish dessert because it's not inside the usual Capri Sun foil packaging. But it's this kind of, like, lovely, light French fancy of a reimagining of the coolish universe. And I'm very into it. I think it looks great. I think it's bloody cracking.
I'll bring it back for you. Don't you worry. I'll get you the coolish.
Lovely.
I've recently discovered they've... I've tried to stop eating crisps because I just feel so guilty eating crisps, eating potato chips, whatever you want to call them. I feel guilty. But I have found edamame dried... like they're like kind of dehydrated edamame covered in salt. And you can buy that. And it's like... It's good. It's like the delicious umami salty flavour of crisps with the healthy... like underpinnings of edamame beans. It's pretty good. I'll bring you back a pack if I can be bothered.
The trappings of beans.
they're good though. They're really good. And so I've been eating those a lot. You can get a fully boiled egg in a single package as well.
You can,
in convenience stores in Japan. A lot of my friends, good friend of mine, he would always just buy one of those and eat that in the car on the go. That's pretty
you
cool.
You forget how, and I've done it a few times recently, like Pret a Manger, sometimes I sell a little egg by itself with a bit of maybe smoked salmon and some unlovable greens in a little pot. But, like, you forget how nice, like, just a cold egg is, a cold cooked egg, and just a little sachet of salt on the top. Oh, it's bloody lovely. Mm. And you know what? And my other big tip is I drink lattes all the time, and you drink quite a lot of coffee as well.
I do.
Since my... well-publicised trip to Milan, I have switched to this week having double espressos and a shot of sugar, a bit of sugar. Because I was thinking, I have lattes all the time, so let me have like maybe two lattes a day, or maybe a latte for breakfast and a proper meal in the evening. The weight just dropped off. That's an old SlimFast advert. It doesn't make any sense. But I have the latte, and it's obviously like it's been like at least 120 calories because there's so much milk in there and some shit in it. If I just have something that actually probably tastes nicer. It's nice and sugary, and it's a tiny little drink. And I don't want to spill it down myself. A double espresso and a shot of and a lump of bloody sugar, and it's like 16 calories. I'm like, whoa! Why didn't I do this sooner? Because, you know, I just drink coffee all day.
I only had a triple espresso latte the first time this year. It's the drink of choice for Connor and Joey the Anime Man. They live and die by the triple espresso latte. You get the wonderful milky flavour, and then you get the kick of three shots of espresso. So I get it. I get the appeal. I didn't realise a latte is just literally like 95% milk with a shot of espresso. I thought there was a bit more water in there. I got it recently and I just...
all milk,
just milk,
cappuccinos, I think it's flat white.
Flat white, a little bit.
Flat white's a bit of flip form, isn't it? And then, I've decided to have a crack at that for a little while. See what happens.
I'm a cappuccino man. I've noticed lattes give people really bad breath because the milk in there, right? In your mouth.
Right, okay.
Gives people bad. So be advised, if you drink latte a lot, carry some mints. Especially at the podcast event, if I'm there on stage with you. We've got a story here from... Pierre, oh, dear Mr. Pete and Master Chris, my name's Pierre, and I'm all the way from Johannesburg in South Africa. It's been a while since we've had a comment from down South Africa way. I was watching a walkthrough, guys, of Japan from a YouTuber called Ramblack that you recommended about a year ago. While I was watching the video, I saw all the different clothing shops and was wondering, is it difficult for a foreigner to find the right size clothing? As for you, Chris, have you found it difficult to buy clothes for yourself? All the best, guys. Pierre from Johannesburg. It's a good question. I do find it a little bit more difficult to find clothes that fit compared to the UK. Because I'm kind of like quite muscly and fat.
Right.
Mostly fat. There's no muscle. It's just fat. In a way that is rare in Japan. So for my height and width and scale, it doesn't really compute into Japanese sizes. So I often find that I get clothes, but they don't fit across the shoulders. It looks a bit crap. Uniqlo seems to have a good track record. I did buy a jacket in Uniqlo on a whim the other day. I was running through Shinjuku. I was very cold. And I just quickly snapped up a jacket. And it fit quite nicely. Shoes are the real downside, though. I haven't bought a pair of shoes that fit in Japan in the last 2.5 years. It's really awkward, actually. My only pair of shoes that fit here that I've got have got a massive hole in them. They're like a really nice pair of shoes. They're like Armani, fucking mega brand, super Dickens, amazing shoes. They cost so much money, but they're covered in holes. And I met Ken Watanabe with a hole in my shoes. And it was just really awkward.
What, a hole in the bottom of your shoe?
No, just like on the top. There's just a hole and you can see my sock.
There's a hole in the top of the shoe.
It's pretty shocking. It's pretty shocking. You might
You'll be surprised what a good cobbler could do, to be honest. Especially in Japan, where they are master craftsmen. Like, I've resurrected like $30, $20 shitty Topman shoes to being one of my more reliable pairs just by taking them to a cobbler's and polish it up, take the sole off, put a new sole on. The things I watch his YouTube. I think I spoke about it before. He works at a Timpsons in Tring, and he just he's a power lifter. So he's absolutely massive, and he's very charismatic, and he's got a lovely way about him. But he basically just fixes shoes and he films them for YouTube. And I think he's wonderful at watching someone who's just really fucking good at his job. Because you think of shoe shops and stuff. They're just there to cut keys, aren't they, really? Because we this disposable fashion, when our shoes fall to bits, we just throw them away. But this guy has such a weird selection of shoes coming in every time. That it could be one time he could be fixing the Pete Donaldson special, the 25 Topman brogues. And the next day he could be fixing like a $5,000 pair of Jimmy Choos. And you can buy all of the parts for the Jimmy Choos and the really expensive designer shoe. You buy the official parts for it. And you paint them up, and you paint them the right colour, and you spread cork underneath them, and you nail them in the right way. And he has done some amazing stuff with some what I would just look at and just sort of go, well, they're unrescuable. You cannot fix those shoes. So go get your shoes fixed, mate.
I'll bring them to your friend, yeah. Or I'll just buy a new pair. Hopefully, by the time we do this podcast event thing, I'll have some new shoes. And nobody will bully me on stage when they see my socks poking through. It was really awkward when I met Ken Watanabe. I was like, oh, look, Ken, it's me up here. Don't look down. Look, yeah, woo. I was trying to make sure he didn't really look down at my feet because it would have been pretty bloody awkward. We've got one here from Scott. It says, hello, Thing 1 and Thing 2. Scott here, writing to you from Maidstone in the UK. A terrible place. I'm from there, so I can attest to it being terrible. Although saying that, every place has its positives in the form of a Kokoro sushi restaurant. Ooh, Maidstone's got a Kokoro. Very, I don't even know what Kokoro is. Sounds good, though. It means heart in Japanese. So me and my family, aka girlfriend and two kids, are looking to move to Japan. Do you have any friends or know any families who have moved to Japan? If there are any issues they've encountered along the way? Also, what would be the best place for a family to live in Japan? All the best, guys. Scott from Maidstone. First off, what's Kokoro? Kokoro, Pete, have you been to this restaurant chain?
I've not, no. Maybe I've seen one though. Because I think I may have... Because, again, Kokoro is one of the few words I know in Japanese. So I think I may have exclaimed to my partner, hey, that means heart. Well, that means heart.
Extensive Japanese knowledge. He only whips it out to impress people when he
knows... What's the Maidstone mummy, Chris?
What?
I'm looking at the Atlas Obscura Guide to Maidstone. And Maidstone, there's a lunatic asylum, Oakwood's Hospital, the Maidstone mummy, a 2,700-year-old woman who is part of the Egyptian... There's a dog collar museum. Yeah, this is sounding pretty good.
Yeah, it's not good. The only thing that I know that Maidstone is good for is Graham Chapman's from there, of Monty Python fame. And I think it's the place they invented tap water. Like the first place they put chlorine in water to make it drinking water. Yeah, so
nice.
Go Maidstone. That's literally it, though. And I'm from there. I'm on the Wikipedia page. So a friend of mine was like, you're on the Wikipedia page, Chris, for notable people. I was like, yes. That's all I've ever aspired to have. All I ever wanted out of life.
What I like about this, they did a CT scan of this mummy, the Maidstone mummy. And in 2016, and they revealed her to be 10 years older than they thought So, wow. to wit, I say, she's just from Maidstone, mate. She looks like that normally.
I will be sure to go and check out the Maidstone Mummy when I return. But on to the question at hand. I think if you're coming with two kids, you're going to want to go somewhere like Tokyo that's sort of easy to live for a foreign family. You know, there's more jobs in Tokyo. You've got schools you can put the kids through, international schools and whatnot. Even in Sendai, we've got that, but you'd have a bit of hard time finding a job. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, though, just deciding, we're going to move to Japan now. It's not as easy as you think. I think it'll be quite stressful. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not here to crush any dreams, but I think it'll be quite complex and quite stressful. So you're going to have to elaborate a little bit on that. Mm. But yeah, I think the main issue will be schooling for kids. Very expensive, and don't put them through a Japanese school because they will get bullied to pieces, given that they're not Japanese. It won't work very well. International school, send them there. What else would it be difficult about that? I mean, not knowing Japanese.
I didn't say he doesn't know Japanese. There's a lot of issues, isn't there? Doing a big move like that, I wouldn't want to go on holiday with a baby. To be honest, quite difficult.
Maybe bring them here on holiday first. Yeah, come here on a holiday first, assess, and then decide. But maybe come back with a little bit more details, Scott, so we can work out if it's worth the risk and the stress. I know Japan's a great place to live, but it's got its downsides as well. Check out a video I made last year called 12 Reasons Not to Move to Japan. And if you're happy with everything you see in that video, then go for it. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here on the Brawn Japan Podcast to do it all over again. But that is all for now.
That's it, mate. It's done.
It's done.
It's done.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.